If you have a Bible, would you turn to Matthew chapter 6? The scripture passage that we have been sharing for several weeks now together. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 11 again says, give us this day our daily bread. I would say, in some ways, this is the easiest part of the prayer to understand. It's, God, we have needs. Help us. My prayers resemble that quite a bit. I don't know about you. But did you notice that there is not a single please or thank you in this prayer? When you stop and you look at the Lord's Prayer, nowhere does Jesus say please. Nowhere does he say thank you. Why is that? What would that be? And for somehow, I don't think Jesus' phrase and idea of give us this day our daily bread is quite the same as what becomes my grocery list of prayer requests. I don't think it's quite the same as my laundry list of what we need to do. I don't know about you. So maybe this is one of the most easy parts to understand, but also maybe give us this day our daily bread is the most misunderstood part of this prayer as well. Let's think through this for just a few moments. We blessed 21st century Americans do not really have a proper concept of what daily bread means. Let's talk about that. We confuse our needs with wants and desires. Many theologians have defined daily bread, and I've written down a couple. Martin Luther says this idea of daily bread is everything necessary for the preservation of this life, including food, a healthy body, a home, a wife, and children. I'll read that one more time. Everything necessary for the preservation of this life, including food, a healthy body, home, wife, and children. He believes when you say, give us this day our daily bread, that's what you're praying. Alan Redpath defines it this way. Give us this day bread suited to our need. In other words, God, give us what we need for today. Give us what we need tomorrow for tomorrow. The simplest definition, I believe, from God's word is really twofold, and that is this. Daily bread represents the necessities of life, and it represents the word of God. Let me show you. If you will, take your Bible and go back to Exodus, the very beginning, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 4. Now, we realize that God has led Moses to bring the Israelites out of bondage, and they need food. And so when they need food, this is what is said, Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. So they call it manna, and remember, what does manna mean? Manna is that word manna literally means, what is it? That's what it means, what is it? So the very idea when this fell the first time, they looked at it and they said, what is it? And that's where it got its name, manna. And so they picked it up. But God himself tells them, I'm going to rain down bread for you. So it's an understanding. He's going to provide for their needs with this food. God called it bread in this regard. Now, if you would move two books to the right to Deuteronomy really quickly, let's see that it's not just a daily necessity, a physical necessity, but it's more than that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, dealing with the same story. Look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 8, 1. It says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So right there, if we look at the context of Exodus, we look at the context of Deuteronomy, we can compare that to Jesus calling himself the bread of life, and he is the word of God. We can look at multiple places in the scripture, and the basic idea is this: daily bread is physical necessities for life, and it's the word of God. But I don't know about you, but somehow my prayers for daily bread end up asking for so much more. That very concept of simple provisions of food and shelter, that's pretty foreign to us, isn't it? Think about it for a moment. Think about how that's foreign to us. If you want to know, in the United States, if we pray, God, give us our daily bread, if you look at the chubby preacher, you get the idea that we don't always just look for what it takes to sustain us. If you were to go home and do a Google search right now, really quickly, a little Google search of weight loss products versus products to help you gain weight, here's what you would find. If you want to see, do we have more products in our country that help people lose weight or more products to help you gain weight, you will see very quickly that our idea of daily bread has a lot more than just needs. It has wants and desires in it. Americans spend over $60 billion, with a B, over $60 billion to lose weight every single year. $60 billion. An average of 75 million Americans are actively trying to lose weight right now. So that's about $800 per person if you spread it out between them. It's a lot of money. Diet pills and meal replacement solutions are a $3 million market a year. Now, if you think $60 billion is a lot of money for trying to lose weight, guess how much money we spend on fast food and junk food? $60 billion on weight loss, we spend $300 billion on fast food and $100 billion a year on junk food. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now, and yes, I checked. We spend $517 million on Krispy Kreme. I did check. I know someone was going to call me out later on about it. So I would say my percentage of that's extremely low. So just back up is all I would say to you about that, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, I just want to tell you how this works too. Mike Stewart's going to be ordained as a deacon in this church next Sunday night. I'm very excited for that. Let me tell you how good of a deacon he is. This morning, he climbs to the third floor, all the way, three flights of stairs, to bring me a box of fresh Krispy Kreme donuts. What's wrong with the rest of you deacons is what I want to know. Sorry, it's a sorry lot. But anyway, so he's my new favorite, and he's not even one yet, but he's my new favorite. So with that said, I'm not suggesting that God wants us to forget having any type of pleasure, forget having anything for enjoyment. That is not what we're saying, give us this day our daily bread means. I'm simply stating, though, that we need proper perspective in our prayers for provision, because I'm not sure we're praying it the way Jesus intended. It's comforting to know, though, that the very one who wants to be our provider is also the one who gave us salvation. The very one who does miracles, who did miracles, who continues to do miracles, is the very one who says, ask me to provide for you. That's pretty powerful if you think about it. There's a quote from Max Lucado. He said, the same hand that guides your soul gives food for your body. The same one who clothes you in goodness is the same one who clothes you in cloth. And your eternal salvation and your evening meal come from the same hand. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. So why then does Jesus not say, every time you pray that I would give you your daily bread, you need to say please? And every time I pray that you would give me your daily bread, you need to say thank you. Why does he not do that? Well, remember that this little phrase, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't stand alone. You've got to look at it in context of the whole passage. Think about it. It is preceded by beautiful declarations. Our Father, you are my Father, who's in heaven. Hallowed be your name. It's preceded by worship. Thy kingdom come. Lord, make your kingdom come in me. Make your will be done in me. It's preceded by humble requests. Then it's followed afterwards, give us this day our daily bread, with requests concerning our immediate past. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it's requests about our future. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you see, in the middle of this, the very idea behind what we're praying is so much more than just you need to say please if you're going to ask for something. The entire prayer is a heart of thanksgiving. The entire prayer shows the heart of humility. If you've prayed our Father and declared who he is and who you are, if you've prayed hallowed be your name and asked God to make himself holy in your life and your words, if you've prayed your kingdom come and you've asked him to make your will his, to make his will yours, and make himself known, then all of that prayer is done in reverence and all of it is an act of worship and thanksgiving. So what that would really mean to us is this, and this is important. I think you need to hear this. The words that you pray are not near as important as the heart behind it. Amen. This is important because this is where I think it trips most of us up. The words that we pray are not near as important as the heart behind it. How many times, if I'm confessing to you, have I prayed the same words I've always prayed, words that flow pretty well, words that work pretty well, but my heart was really not behind it? How many times have I prayed and then ended up at the end of my prayer to say, now, what did I really just pray? What did I do? I'm surely not the only one in the room who's done that. How many times have I found myself using the same old prayer at a meal and the same old prayer with my kids and the same old prayer on the drive to school each morning, meaning sincerely what I say, but then there are those days I'm just praying and I get to the end to say, I pray this as if Jesus were praying it in his own name, amen, and I'm thinking, what did I just say? I'm confessing to you that it's very easy to make this just routine and rote words. It is so important that we understand that prayer is not about your words, it is about your heart. I'll give you an example. At my house, it's probably just like yours. We have taught our children to say please and thank you. We've taught our children when they need something, don't order us around. Don't tell us what we're going to do. You can say, please, may I this? And if they don't get it right, we'll often say, now back up and say that again how you need to. And they'll back up and say it again. Anybody else ever done that before? Just confession. Raise your hand now. Okay, all right. So I hope that's the case that you have. And not just let people do whatever. But here's what I have learned. And my kids are usually very good about backing up and realizing to say it the right way. But every once in a while, I can remember as a child, and I have children that remind me as well, that every once in a while, we can be a little stubborn about it, and I'll say please, but I don't mean please. Please. Or I'll say thank you, but it comes out like thank you. And I've been guilty of that. Have you? So what I would say to you, is it more important that my kids say the words, or is it more important that their heart is in it? Is it more important that I say certain words or that my heart is in it? And what I would say is we learn and we are disciplined because the words help to lead the heart in some ways. But I'm also of the understanding that when it comes to me communicating with my Father, that it is important that my heart is behind it, that I don't just give him platitudes, that I don't just use certain words that haven't really rolled out of my heart, out of my gut, out of my being into who he is. That it's just words because I can turn it on. Listen, as a pastor, you are the designated prayer at all events. I mean, pastors get to pray at everything. And so we're the DP, and we just are used to that. And we know it will come to something. You end up at a lunch somewhere. Would you like to pray? You go. It can be very simple to where that becomes rote and routine. And oh, I don't want it to be. I'm fortunate at my house, we've got three pastors in the family, so we don't have a designated prayer. We spread it all around and we get everyone to pray. But the reality is, and this is in my immediate family of my two brothers, but for some of us, we understand, yes, I'm the one that's called on, I'm the token Christian at work, or I'm this, there, and so I'm the one that gets to do this or that. We must be careful that we don't just hop into a routine and that we make sure that what we do comes from our heart. And I would say to you today that when we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, that we truly need to be saying to him, God, I'm going to trust you with to be my provider. I'm going to trust you to do what you need to do in my life. Because if I were to give you what I believe we need to know, and that is that the words that we pray have no meaning apart from our heart. It's just lip service. My definition of Jesus' words, give us this day our daily bread, is simple. It's a prayer for provision, and it's a declaration of trust. We are asking God to provide, and we are trusting him with his answer to the request. Trust is easily declared, but it is sometimes very difficult to live out, isn't it? How many times have you told God, I trust you, only to try to figure it out on your own anyway because you weren't so sure about his plan? How many times have I told God, I trust you, only to then go about my own little idea of how to make it happen and try to push him along? I've said this before, but I'll say it again, and that is this. I am a decent Chris Johnson, but I am a lousy Holy Spirit. And there have been times I've played the part of the Holy Spirit where I've tried to nudge along what needs to happen and push and push instead of saying, God, I trust you. What are you wanting to do right here? So if it really does mean give us this day bread suited to our need, do you realize that that answer is going to change every day? Because your need's going to be different every day. Some days, give us this day our daily bread means you get a plate with food running over in abundance, Krispy Kreme donuts as far as the eye can see. It's when that you get that job promotion, things go well, something happens that you're blessed by it, you're recognized for some work well done. It seems like you've received an extra measure of grace, though we all receive the grace we need, and all these things, good, wonderful things. It's a mountaintop experience. Sometimes that give us this day our daily bread seems so amazingly wonderful, over the top, more than we deserve. And then there are other days when give us this day our daily bread and you feel like all you're going to be handed is a plate of Brussels sprouts. Maybe you like Brussels sprouts, but a plate of whatever for you, okay? And you may say, but is this really the answer to that? Listen, I really do think about people that have made their way to our community that have escaped the path of an impending storm in Florida. And how some of them, even just a couple of weeks ago, might have prayed to God, give us this day our daily bread. And it may have meant something much different than today. It may be as simple as meaning, God, I need a place to lay down tonight because all the hotels are full. I need you to provide a place that I can roll out my sleeping bag and get on the floor and keep my family safe. You see, that prayer means something different to some of them today than it did even 2 weeks ago. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed with more really bountiful days than not. I'm blessed beyond measure, and so are many of you. But on those hard days, on those difficult days, in those crisis moments, listen, I want to encourage you, pray for God's provision, and then declare your trust in him. I found an illustration as I was trying to prepare for this message that I really liked, so I want to read it to you. And the illustration says this: after the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children who had been orphaned by the war. We've seen the same thing in the Vietnam conflict, in Bosnia and other places. In the case of Korea, relief agencies came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphan children. One of the people involved in this relief effort wrote about a problem they encountered with children who were in the orphanages. Even though the children had 3 meals a day provided for them, they were restless and anxious at night and had difficulty going to sleep. As they talked to the children, they soon discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether they would have food the next day or not. To help resolve this problem, the relief workers in one particular orphanage decided that each night when the children were put to bed, that they would come in and give them a single piece of bread to hold in their hand. The bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It was a security blanket for them, reminding them that there would be food for their needs tomorrow. Sure enough, the bread calmed the children's anxieties and helped them sleep. Likewise, we take comfort in knowing that our physical needs are met, that we have food and our bread for our needs. What I would say to you is that is an issue of trust. You and I need to have that same kind of trust that a physical piece of bread would provide a child who's not sure where their next meal is coming from. But our daily bread, the scripture's pretty clear, comes from the word of God. So if your fears are rampant right now and your fears are out of control, I need to quickly remind you that God's word is the bread of life. It's clear. The scripture tells us that. If you have been overrun with anxiety and insecurity and doubts and not sure what's going to happen next in your life and not sure what you want to happen next in your life, friends, I want to encourage you to cling to the word of God, the truth of who God is. And I'll make a statement that says this: you cannot sincerely declare your trust of God if you're not reading his word. Because his word is the bread of life. It is how we trust his word to trust him. These two are really synonymous. So as you pray, give us this day our daily bread, as we close, would you ask yourself these following questions? Would you ask yourself this, first of all: are you guilty of confusing your needs with wants? Are you guilty of praying, God, give me this and give me that, but maybe it's not just needs, it's wants and desires? If so, I just encourage you to evaluate, repent, and redirect. Just evaluate that and repent if needed be. Secondly, have you prayed for God to help give us this day our daily breads, but then you have ignored his answer? The Israelites, think about it. Go back to the story in Exodus and Deuteronomy. When the Israelites were told from God that they were going to be provided food, it rained down from heaven like dew. What did they have to do next? They had to pick it up, right? They couldn't just sit there and look at it. They had to pick it up. So they were given instructions. Pick up what you need for that day. They were given specific instructions. Don't pick up what you need for tomorrow. It's going to come again. If you pick up too much, it's going to spoil. Only on a certain day of the week before the Sabbath would you get 2 days' supply. Other than that, you only get what you need. And so that is a reminder to me that the Israelites, when they had to pick up their manna, the specific instructions on how to handle it and not to hoard it, what I would say to you and me is, as we've, and this is important, this is probably the most important part of this message for this church. Because let me be clear, this church is a blessed church. The people in this room, many of you are blessed beyond measure when it comes to finances and success. I'm just being honest. Now, I realize we are a multicultural church, and there are people of all walks of life, and there's someone in this room that's trying to figure out where their next meal's coming from, but there are a lot of people in this room that don't have that problem. And so here's what I would say to you. The way that you and I could be the most in danger of messing up this prayer, of not getting it right, is to realize when we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, and we are willing to do our part to pick up the bread off the ground. We're willing to work. We're willing to do what God tells us to do. But if we're not careful and we don't follow his instructions and we stop trusting him and start trusting the provisions, we'll start hoarding it. And the more we hoard and the more we keep for ourselves, I will tell you this, if you hoard a blessing, it will spoil every single time. Blessings are not meant to be hoarded. So what I'm saying to you is this, it's important that we realize that one of the keys to living out, in my mind, give us this day our daily bread, is to have an attitude of generosity. It's to have a desire in our heart, even as we pray, that God, I will be generous as you provide for my needs. I will be generous with what you give me. It's that we learn to live open-handed. Now, let's be honest. A lot of you have been doing that your whole life. But some of us still struggle. Some of us still struggle. We take it, we keep it for ourselves because, and it's not that we don't want to help others, but we have this innate fear that maybe God can't handle this his own way. And so we need to make sure we take care of ourselves. And what I would say to you is to find the balance there of understanding that God has provided for you, but don't for a moment think that God has blessed you in abundant ways just so you can keep it yourself. God has blessed you that you might be a blessing to others. There's a wonderful book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. It's a short little book. We've given them away before here. But in this book, he talks about the treasure principle, which is but where it says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. The idea behind this book is simple. The idea is that you and I are God's UPS driver. or FedEx if you prefer, or whoever you prefer. You're God's delivery man or woman. And so God gives you your daily bread, your provision, but he always gives more. Have we not seen that to be the case over and over again? And so you have to understand that what God provides, he is allowing you and I to invest in his eternal kingdom. But here's the problem. If you call and order something and the UPS driver goes to the warehouse to pick it up from wherever you bought it from, and on his way to deliver it to you, he stops and says, you know what, I'm going to take this home. And he backs up into his own driveway, opens his garage door, takes half of what you ordered, leaves it for himself, brings the rest to you. What happens to that driver? He gets fired. If he gets caught, you're unhappy. You don't get what you were supposed to do. Things didn't work out the way they were supposed to. But please understand, as we are God's delivery man and woman, that God has blessed us beyond measure. But friends, don't think for a moment in this beautiful, blessed American Christian life that we have that God has blessed you just so you can have it all for yourself. He is allowing us to make a difference for the gospel's sake all around the world. So what I would say is if you keep it all and you are not willing to be someone who gives regularly and you are not willing to be a generous person, that I will tell you it will be like manna that you've stored away in your satchel and it's going to spoil, it's going to stink, and it's not going to help. And it doesn't benefit anybody that way. But what we're called to do is to simply view ourselves as God's delivery boys and girls. We help make a difference to those around us. So friends, will you live open-handed? Will you live generous? Many of you are already doing it. If it has been a struggle for you because of fear, would you take that step? Just say, God, everything I have is yours. So as you provide for my daily needs, I'm going to be a blessing to others around me. Let's be a blessing to those in need. For the gospel's sake, we will do that. We are blessed beyond measure. So maybe for you, it's a proper perspective and understanding of what that means. But maybe for some today who are listening by radio or here or watching online, you might say, the truth is, I've asked God to provide, but I've not even done my part to pick up the manna. In other words, you say, you'd be willing to say, I'm dealing with some laziness or some idleness. Listen, all I can say to you is this. If you're waiting on God to do all the work or you're waiting on the government to do all the work, friends, you're missing out. We need to understand that we have an opportunity to allow God to lead us and instruct us, and then we follow through on what he's telling us to do. So will you do your part in listening to his response to give us this day our daily bread, whatever that means for you? And then lastly, do you understand the trust part of this request? When we say, God, give us this day our daily bread, that we're depending on him, we're trusting in him. Do you trust God with his word? Are you investing in the word of God? Would you bow with me, with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? This is nothing special or magical we've talked about. It's just a little privacy, really. But as you have your heads bowed, what about you? Is there anyone here who would say, first of all, that yes, you find yourself in a difficult place, in a hard spot in life, but you want to be able to say, God, please, would you give me this day my daily bread? Would you show me what it means and how to live that out? And I will. If that's the case, I encourage you to pray about it. Maybe you're here and you realize that for you, you have had a trust issue. You've been blessed beyond measure and you've had a little fear about being generous with the blessing. And today, maybe you just simply want to say, God, I'm just going to commit that it's all yours. And that part of trusting you is not trying to hoard it. For others, though, maybe it's realizing because you've already been such a blessing to others, it's walking in the realization that that is truly a principle of Scripture, that God is using you for his kingdom's purpose. And so you simply make a renewed commitment. Father, as much as I have done this before, I want to keep doing it and more. Father, you show me. Open my eyes to how I can be generous for the gospel's sake. And maybe for you, it's simply just to say, I need to be in God's word. I don't know how I can really trust him if I don't trust his word, so I'll start there. We're going to sing a little song in a moment after I pray that says, trust and obey. It's actually a very old hymn we've been singing for years. Beautiful message. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Friends, will you trust him at his word? Will you trust him for his provision? And will you pray that he will be the provider in the proper perspective for others around us? Father God, please have your way among us. If there's one here that needs to give their life to you, may they come today. If there's one that wants to unite with our faith family, we welcome them. If there's one who wants to be baptized like Austin was, they come forward and say that. Father, if there are others that need to just come pray, working on trust issues with you, working on commitments of different ways, who have great need. Maybe there are some marriages in trouble and they want to come and pray for you to be their daily bread to help them through that. Maybe there are those that are dealing with physical problems and conditions and they want to come and pray that you would give them their daily bread, that you would give them what they need to sustain in life. Father, whatever you tell us, may we respond to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? And we're going to sing. You come and pray. You come and see Justin or myself, whatever you need.